We welcome in Congressman Chris Collins joining us live after some of those final absentee ballots counted in Erie County yesterday. Congressman, thanks for joining us. What did you make of what happened yesterday, the results, and the response you heard from Nate McMurray?
Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners. It's going to be a cold one, but time to spend time with our families. And, you know, the election, I believe, was over on November 6th. It was mathematically improbable for Nate to win. But now that all the ballots have been counted, it's mathematically impossible. So I'm just focused on going back to D.C. on Tuesday. We have a fairly hectic 3 weeks in what we call our lame duck section. We have to get the government funded. That runs out on December 7th. And we have to keep that funded through September. We got a farm bill that's gone through conference. We need to get that signed into law. That's a big deal for our dairy farmers. And so there's a lot to do the next 3 weeks. And then January 3rd, looking forward to the 116th Congress and just continuing to represent as best I have the last 6 years the constituents in New York 27 and being a common sense voice supporting the Trump agenda and moving the country forward.
There still is this idea out there that Nate McMurray might ask for a recount. Are you concerned at all, maybe not so much about the actual votes and what a recount would result in, but just that whole process and having to go through it?
Well, you know, Nate McMurray will decide when he wants to concede. Perhaps he never will, but that's his decision. The Board of Elections called it yesterday. There is no automatic recount in New York State, but that's Nate's decision to make. Doesn't impact me whatsoever. You know, I'm back to D.C. Was back last week. We elected our leader and our whip and other leaders for the Republicans in the 116th Congress, and I'm looking forward to getting legislation I sponsored that did not make it to the president's desk reintroduced. And you know, I'm chairing several caucuses, the Scout Caucus, the Energy Storage Caucus, and many others, and I'll be recruiting new members from the 90 freshmen that are coming in. It'll be an exciting time for them. And so, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in the district constituent service. So Nate will do whatever Nate does, and something I don't have any control over. My focus, again, is doing the job, and I'm humbled and honored to be going back representing all the constituents, and I certainly thank the 135,000 that voted for me to continue the good work I've done the last 6 years. And so, Brian, that's my focus. I can't control what another person does.
You know, I was hoping to get your thoughts. I don't think we were able ever ask you the question after the election when you were on with us about the what we heard around the election heading into the day, either here on our station from people at the ballot box on election day, that they were voting to keep that seat in Republican hands in MY27, that they weren't necessarily casting the vote for you. They were voting for the party. They were voting for, you know, maybe their best interest in the long run. I'm wondering if it might be tough to remove yourself from it, but just that idea of voting party over person, what you think of that idea, that mindset that some voters have?
Oh, I mean, that's the mindset voters have in every election. You know, let's face it, in 16, there were an awful lot of Democrats who voted for Hillary Clinton, who did not particularly agree with her and perhaps didn't like her. So that's not an uncommon thing, Brian. But in my case, the reaction I've gotten, the welcoming I've gotten since the election and leading up to it was overwhelmingly positive and genuine. People realize the good work my team has done, you know, serving veterans, the elderly, and the disabled, and all of our constituent service in Geneseo office and our Lancaster office. They know how hard I work, and they know that I'm a, you know, fiscal conservative supporting the Trump agenda. Never made any bones about that, and everyone knew that. So the thing that matters is I did win on election night. You could say I won again yesterday. So, again, my focus is just doing good work for the district and making sure that the country continues to move forward.
Wanted to get your thoughts just a little bit on New Era's decision to close their manufacturing facility in Derby at some point in the spring of next year. They're pointing to kind of an overall trend in their industry of moving a lot of that manufacturing overseas, really only keeping a little bit of it here in the U.S. down in Florida. What's something you can do in Congress to maybe help reverse that trend? Is it a trend that's reversible right now?
Well, that's where tariffs could play a role in holding China certainly accountable. It would not make sense for someone to have products made in China if they had to pay a tariff to bring it back. That those are the negotiations that are continuing with the Trump team. But you know, the other fact we have to realize is it's New York State. Those hats that will still be made in the U.S. are not going to be made in New York. They're moving, I think, to someplace in the South. So New York continues to be the least business-friendly state in the nation under the leadership or lack thereof of Andrew Cuomo, who picks his winners and losers, $1.2 billion to Amazon for a headquarters in New York City and whatever it was, $800 million for the Tesla plant. So our governor picks his winners and losers in smaller companies. Just take it on the chin day in and day out, and it's probably going to get worse now that the Democrats have taken the Senate. Buckle your seatbelt for what we might see next year. So disappointed, clearly, to see these jobs leaving, but in New York State, that's been a trend for the last 50 years and is likely to continue.
One more question to that point of the Democrats taking the state Senate here in New York. A lot of the focus on what might lie ahead after 2020 with the census and redistricting. Wondering if you're going to be a part of any efforts to maybe raise awareness to that issue or fight it in the future.
Well, I mean, redistricting is supposed to be done by our Assembly and Senate with the approval of the governor in 2012 after the 2010 census. They did not do their job, and a federal judge came in and drew the congressional district boundaries. So I somewhat laugh whenever I hear them refer to my seat as a gerrymandered seat. Well, it's anything but. All the seats were drawn by a federal judge. New York's the least gerrymandered state in the nation when it comes to congressional districts. So that's not something that members of Congress step in. I suppose everyone would want boundaries that protect them more so than not. But that's a decision for the New York State Assembly, the New York State Senate, and the governor, and those are all Democrats. But then again, we're now down to just six Republicans in the state. So with 27 seats, it'll probably drop to 26. You know, there'll be 20 Democrats, six Republicans, and it's hard to give 20 Democrats all better boundary lines when there's only 26 districts. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of changes in the next redistricting. There is a seat now occupied by Claudia Tenney that could be carved up out in the central part of the state and divvied out as, again, New York's going the wrong way. We continue to lose seats every census, because we are the least business-friendly state in the nation. So, you know, I don't see myself playing any role in that whatsoever, and it's really a role that our legislature should do their job, and if not, a judge will step in and do it again.
All right, Chris, thank you. That's Congressman Chris Collins joining us live.